From scratch.
Hello, my name is Nigel Payne, and welcome to another From Scratch. Today, I was lucky enough to catch Stephanie Dedhar. Stephanie is a learning and performance consultant at BP, and we're almost at her third anniversary of working for BP. And I wanted to talk to her about exactly what is learning and performance consultancy in that company. Stephanie, how would you describe your role?
I'm a learning and performance consultant in the online and informal learning team. And in practice, that means leading on the design of digital learning projects. So we don't really produce what I suppose a lot of people think of when you hear e-learning. We tend to kind of emulate websites that you would get outside of corporate organisations, I suppose, and look at what other types of industry are doing with digital media and how we can learn from what they do. So we partner with internal colleagues and teams, but also with external agencies, and increasingly those agencies are digital design agencies. So I suppose day to day my role is really varied, but there's a lot about gathering business requirements and user requirements, working on copy, working on design of websites, of mobile sites, of apps, and I suppose everything that goes along with making that happen, so some of the technical sides of things as well, and the comms, and project management. So it is really varied, but all in the pursuit of delivering these kind of learning websites, really.
You said two really interesting things. You slipped them in quickly. The first one was that you're working with, not with learning, online learning development companies, but you're working with the online community much more broadly. That was the first thing. And the second thing you slipped in was, this isn't what you'd call e-learning. This is more like websites. So can you give me a couple of examples of the actual people you're working with and the kinds of things that you're doing? And for what end? Why are you doing all this?
The first example that springs to mind is a website called Discover BP, which is our internal induction website. And this isn't actually a project that I was involved in from the beginning, but it's something that I took over this year and have gone through a big project to kind of refresh it and update it. So it's been quite complicated, actually. So I spent a lot of time with looking at how people have used it so far and working with a user experience company to do some user research. So that was really interesting, actually, exploring how people had been using this site for the last 3 years and where the opportunities were to kind of take it to the next level. And then from there, it's working with a digital design agency to actually implement all of the changes and the updates that we want to make. And I guess the way that I look at those relationships is I look at what I can bring, and my background is obviously on the learning side of things and the kind of communication side of things. So I can fill that role in the team. What I can't do is I'm not as strong on the visual design, on the graphic design. I can't actually build these things. So that's what I would look for the agency to do. And I think that's why there's been that move towards working with that kind of agency rather than the kind of learning development companies, because I can bring the learning expertise myself. So it's just a different dynamic, I suppose, and making sure we really draw on everybody's strengths to produce a project or to produce a website that involves video, infographics, quite up-to-date web navigation techniques and all of that side of things. And I don't think we would necessarily get that if we were working with those more traditional learning, e-learning development agencies, where they bring much more of the learning expertise, but are perhaps not quite as forward-thinking, I suppose, on the website of things.
Yeah, that's very interesting. So what you're saying is that you are building with a view to what's the best out there in general, not what's the best in terms of narrowly defined as learning.
Yeah, I think so. It's difficult, obviously, because when you work in, in probably most organisations, but particularly big corporates like BP, you are contending with IT policies and the complexities that come with such a big organisation. So say we aspire to the kind of the best of what's out on the web. I don't think we necessarily achieve exactly that, but I think we've made huge steps in the last few years towards that, and just the fact that we draw our inspiration from those other places, I think, is a big driving force in what we're doing as a team.
Do you think it's more effective, instead of saying onboarding, right, okay, here's a course, to onboarding, let's build something that is a brilliant website that you can explore, that is using all sorts of techniques and technologies from that people encounter in the rest of their life, really? Do you think it's more effective?
I think it is more effective if it's done well. And I think that a lot of that hinges on the engagement with the users at the beginning. So Discover BP, as an example, was when that was first conceived, there was a lot of interaction with recent joiners to talk about what they would find useful, I suppose what they would expect of an induction site and how it might work alongside a more formal classroom offering. And as a result, it's non-linear. You can kind of go to the bit of the site that you're interested in, and that will change over the first kind of week, month, 3 months. There's a lot of checklists and a lot of films of peers talking about their experiences. And we've done something similar actually on another project that I've been working on for most of this year for graduates, looking at graduates non-technical development. And that started with a series of focus groups and phone interviews with graduates around the world at different stages of their kind of 3-year graduate program to really explore what skills they think they need to develop on the softer side alongside their technical skills, but also how they learn, the types of media that they engage with outside of work, what their views on those media would be inside work. And so I think if those more informal and multimedia type websites are developed on the basis of that kind of engagement, then they will be more effective.
I love, again, you've slipped it in quietly, the idea that you actually ask people what media they use, and therefore you go with their flow rather than say, we have a policy of using this, whether you like it or not. And I'm sure that's more effective.
It's really interesting as well. With the graduates, there were a lot of assumptions made about millennials and how they would be using the internet. And actually, a lot of those assumptions were kind of blown out of the water, really, in conversation with them. So it was really worth doing and really interesting, and has shaped you know, what we're now producing.
A lot of nonsense is talking about millennials, as I'm sure you've discovered.
Yeah, I kind of came away thinking, really, they're just people.
Exactly, they're just like everyone else, but they just happen to be aged 23 or 24.
Yeah.
Just last question. If you're therefore trying to keep abreast not just of learning and learning technologies, but technologies per se, and all of the stuff coming through at the moment on instructional design and new tools, how do you develop yourself? How do you feel on top of it all?
It's a really good question, and I guess there's a few ways to answer it. I think I don't focus too much on the technology or the instructional design or things like that. I think I've come to a point now where it's more about, I suppose, engagement and trying to develop my understanding of engagement. And for that, I look quite broadly. So some of it, I mean, I'm really lucky to work in a team of people that have got very varied backgrounds and are really talented. And I think we all learn a lot from each other. It's really nice to not be working with people who have just come through the same route that I have. But I think, it's other things. It's just the kinds of things you find on Twitter. Follow those links through, get into kind of a YouTube loop, and you come across videos or use of audio or animations that are nothing to do with learning. And it's not even really about the technology. It might be about the way that they're telling a story or the way that they're reaching audiences that haven't been reached before. So I think I don't kind of define it too specifically as keep my development in terms of instructional design or in terms of technology. I suppose it is just more about how can we engage people, and that opens up a whole wealth of places you can go for inspiration and development.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. So, but if I said, right, you've only got one tool for your own personal development, what would that tool, if I took all the others away, what would be the one that you would scream loudest if you lost?
I don't know if it is a cheat answer if I say Twitter, because I think it probably would be Twitter. And that is in a large part because of the conversations and the connections. And again, my network on Twitter is so varied that I know that really whatever question I ask, or whatever challenge I want to explore, there'll be someone out there on my Twitter network who can help with that. But also, it is obviously a way into so many other sites or other places to learn. So it's maybe a little bit of a cheat answer in that sense. But I think probably Twitter.
I don't think so. I think it's a very interesting answer. And in some ways, you're trying to recreate the conversations and the exploration internally in the work that you're doing with BP. So that's very interesting, very useful, very exciting. And it was an absolute pleasure talking to you. So thank you very much for your time, Stephanie.
My pleasure. Likewise. Thank you.
From scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch.